כן? יום ג' ביום ג'
בימי המלך המשיח.
So in the days of the king, the Messiah, as I explained last week. Were you here last week, Benson?
Yes.
Right. So in the days of the king, the Messiah, so the king is the Mashiach. Mashiach really means anointed. It's like Mashuach, like you say, Yadelet Sgura, Chalon Patuach. So Mashuach, Mashuach means somebody who is anointed. Limshoch means to anoint. Limshoch Pashemen. So Mashiach is somebody who is anointed. So gradually the word HaMelech was dropped out. But the Rambam always says HaMelech HaMashiach. בימי המלך המשיח, כשתתיישב מלכותו, when he will be, כשתתיישב ממלכתו, I mean, when everything will settle down and his kingdom will flourish, והתקבצו אליו כל ישראל, and all Israel will be gathered. And I said last week already that in Amida it seems that the order is different, because Kibbutz Galuyot, the ingathering of the exiles, is the first thing that will happen in the day before the Mashiach will come.
It has to happen before the Mashiach will come. No?
Well, but he says differently. When he will be enthroned, when his kingship will be established, ויתקבצו אליו כל ישראל, and all Israel will be gathered unto him, יתייחסו כולם על פיו ברוח הקודש תנוח עליו. Everybody will relate to him because he'll have Ruach HaKodesh. He will be a prophet, but he'll have the Holy Spirit, and which will rest on him. Shenemar v'yashav metzaref u'metaher u'vnei levi metaher tchila. So you see the Yichus. What's Yichus? Yichus means that people will know exactly who they are, from which tribe they come, and he will be able to determine this. He will determine who is a Kohen, who is not. Today we don't know who is a Kohen, only we believe. People, they say, I'm a Kohen. We believe them.
They can do like DNA testing.
Yes, they can.
Yeah,
they can.
Yeah.
But he would know with the Ruach HaKodesh, not with the DNA. But at the present time, we believe Kohanim. We believe.
Yeah.
We go according to Chazaka. Nobody will claim to be a Kohen unless he really is a Kohen. We assume so. And also a lady. The Mashiach will have the last word, because when the temple will be, today it doesn't matter. So if you're lying and you're not really Kohen, so you're not, okay, nothing major will result, because there's no temple.
Mm-hmm.
But when the temple is rebuilt, it will be extremely serious.
Yeah.
If someone infiltrates the ranks of the Kohen, they're not really a Kohen, so how can he serve in the temple? And so the Mashiach will know, Ze miyuchas Kohen, Ze miyuchas Levi, this will be from a Levi tribe, and this will be a Kohen, V'doche, and he will reject, so he will accept those that he thinks are telling the truth, and he will reject those who are not miyuchasim, who are not able to establish their lineage. As it says in the Bible, in the book of Nehemiah, ותומר תרשת להם אדמות כהן לאורים ותומים, until the will stand, will arise a Kohen לאורים ולתומים, will be Kohen Gadol, and you'll be able to tell Urim ותומים. This was the magic breastplate, you know, it had an Urim ותומים, and he could tell truth from falsehood. Urim means something that you curse. Tumim is something that you bless, namely Tam, something perfect. So Urim and Tumim, they told you right from wrong. this verse, שברוח הקודש מייחסים המוחזקים ומודיעים המיוחס, according to the certain Holy Spirit will rest on him and he will be able to be miyaches those who are muchzakim, would be able to establish those who have a chazaka, that they are kohanim, and they inform the miyuchas, and they inform those who have the right lineage. Ve'no miyachas Israel ela l'shifteim, and all the tribes will again become singled out. People will know which tribe they belong to. Shemodia, he will tell, Sheze mishevet ploni, veze mishevet ploni, he will be from this tribe and he will be from this tribe. Aval no omer ad she'en b'cheskat kashrut, ze mamzer veze evet she'adin mishimishpacha she'nitme'a, nitme'a. Here you've got something very interesting actually that has some repercussions on the way that we handle difficult questions about Mamzerut, because he says he will not say, the Mashiach will not say who is a kosher Jew and who will not, is not, who is a Mamzer and is not, who is a slave. Shadinu, because the din is, and that comes from the Gemara, Shemishpacha shenitmea nitmea. If a family is assimilated, a family loses its lineage, and you don't know who is a Mamzer, you don't try and find out. Unfortunately, today, with the records that we have, everything is recorded so carefully and computerized, and you can retrieve information so easily. It's difficult for Mamzerim to get away from what they are. And we live in an age of records, and we live in an age where everything needs to be known to everyone. So it's a pity for Mamzerim, it's a great pity that this rule cannot be upheld as it used to, and there is a big debate about this. What do you do? And I was reading, we didn't do it deep enough to go into all the details that arise, because sometimes the question does arise if a painting, what was I reading? Subsequently I was reading an essay about this, subsequent to our shiurim I looked up the matter further, and the question arose at a painting on one occasion whether to try and find out whether the person was a mamzer or not. I don't remember the exact details. And there are two different there are a number of approaches to this, but you see what the Rambam says, the Mashiach will not be allowed to declare who is a mamzer and who is not, because shemishpacha shenitmea nitmea. Tama with an I, tet mem ayin, means to become assimilated.
Tell me, how will we know if the Mashiach is genuine? How do we know
that is that
we talk about Kohens and Levites being genuine? How do we know?
He explained last week that he will
so that comes from the tribe of David,
when he succeeds in bringing peace to the world, well, we don't know exactly how we should find out, but this is what we learned.
We know that peace will come to the world and the animal will not lie with the
so in the last chapter we learned if he will do what he says, and he will succeed, and he will build a temple, and all the Jewish people will come back to Israel. Then we know he's definitely the Mashiach. So we only know by his actions.
Actions speak louder than words.
Yes, his actions will speak louder than words.
But the ingathering of the people is happening now.
Yes.
To a large degree.
So according to
That's
right, it's a different order. So I don't know enough about the whole question, but you can see from the media that the ingathering of the exile will come first. So maybe he will just do the final ingathering.
Okay. So is Rebbe still got a chance?
לא נתבוע חכמים ונביאים ימות המשיח. I'm going to the next page and we've learned the very end. It really is the end of the entire book. Sometimes my photocopy does not. Yes, you have got it. לא נתבוע חכמים ונביאים ימות המשיח, לא כדי שישלטו על כל העולם.
At
the very end here, Dalit.
Sorry, it's the bottom of the last page.
Lo nitavu hachachamim v'neviim, our rabbis and our prophets, but did not look forward to the Mashiach, to the days of the Mashiach.
They didn't look forward to it?
They did not look forward to it. They didn't look forward to the Mashiach because they wanted to dominate the world. Nor do they want to have mastery over the pagans. And not in order to boast that they are at the best in the world. ולא כדי לאכול ולשתות ולשמוח, and not in order to eat and to drink and to rejoice, אלא כדי שיהיו פנויים בתורה וחוכמתה, only in order that should be free, פנוי is free, בתורה, in the Torah, and its wisdom וחוכמתה, ולא יהיה להם נוגס ומבטל, and no one will disrupt their learning, no one will oppress them, כדי שיזכו לחיי העולם הבא, so that they will merit the life of the next world. כמו שבארנו בהלכות תשובה, as we've explained in the laws of repentance. ובאותו הזמן, and during that time of the Mashiach, לא יהיה שם לא רעה ולא מלחמה ולא קנאה ותחרות. There won't exist in the world famine and war, nor will they exist jealousy and competition. שהטובה תהיה מושפעת הרבה. There will be overflowing abundance of goodness. וכל המעדנים מצויים כאפר. And all the delicious things will be available like sand. יעשה כל העולם. And the whole world will be occupied only לדעת את השם בלבד, to know the Lord, and that's all. ולפיכך, and therefore, as a result, יהיו ישראל, the Jewish people, will be חכמים גדולים, they will be extremely wise, ויודעים דברים הסתומים, they will know all the things that have not been understood up to now, ויסיגו בוראם כפיקוח האדם, they will be able to fathom the Creator as much as a human being can. שנאמר, as it is said in the prophets, כי מלאה הארץ דעה את השם, the land will be filled with the knowledge of God, כמים לים מכסים, like the waters cover the seabed. That's the end. ישלמו הלכות מלאכים. This is the end of the laws of kings and the entire book. ברוך שאמר והיה עולם, blessed be he who said that the world came to existence, בפרטו ובכללו, with all its details and generally the whole universe. תם ונשלם שבח לאל בורא עולם, he says. Now in the whole book there are Schwab, who was a very distinguished rabbi, and he writes he explains the Amida, but he explains the some of the problems that the idea of the Mashiach caused. And of course, that's a big study. It's a big study. There are so many false messiahs, not least Jesus. And of course, Jesus is mentioned in Amida, or there are references to him and to the people following him. So we learn a little bit. I mean, it's so much. We'll start today, we'll finish next week. Okay. So I photocopied selections. I didn't photocopy anything. Right, so here we are. It's a lovely commentary. I like it very much, this commentary. I hope you share that with me. It's a large book. I've selected a few things.
Okay, thank you.
So, the Amida is clearly divided into two parts. The first part is personal, although is one blessing. The seventh blessing is about Geula, and there is a dispute what to do with it, because it's not the right place to speak about the redemption. But it does speak about the redemption. It's Goel Israel. So there is a view that it's personal. Goel Israel means that God redeems me, and nothing to do with the Messiah. Others explain that it is in the seventh. It is the seventh blessing because it is seven is such an important number. So it had to be Goel Israel had to be the seventh of the seventh blessing of the Amida, despite the fact that it doesn't fit into the general pattern. Clearly, the last section leads up to the coming of King David, but it starts off with Kabe Shofar Gedol HaHeotein. So blow the shofar. The shofar is the shofar of redemption, shofar of freedom. Shofar symbolized freedom. And of course, the end of Yom Kippur, we blow the shofar. There are a number of explanations, but one of them could be that we are free of sins, so it is the shofar of freedom from sins. החלק השני של ברכות האמצעיות סובב על הגאולה העתיקה, says Shimon Schwab. That the second section of the middle blessings, Sovev means focuses on, it's like the word Sevivon. Sevivon means to focus. To focus also comes from the word circle. It's the same idea. Yeah. Sovev ala geula atika. So it revolves around or focuses on the future redemption. Ve'ein yadu alanu. But he says, Ve'ein yadu alanu sada geula. We don't know the order of the redemption. אבל לפי הסדר שנקבעו אנשי כנסת הגדולה, שקבעו אנשי כנסת הגדולה, the tradition is that the Amida was composed by the men of the great synagogue, which goes back to 500 BC. So the Amida, the contents of the Amida, if not the exact words, goes back to very early times, to the men of the great synagogue, which preceded the Sanhedrin and the Maccabean rebellion by hundreds of years.
So you had the Amida while we had the temple. It was done before the temple?
Yes, the Amida, the text of the Amida existed before. Whether it was part of a service like we have, that's debatable. But the Amida, the wording, the ideas, the themes, they existed a long time, very long time. But so the order also comes. Shomrim et Semach. So the order that the Semach David, that the blood, the plant of David, as he is called, that's on the basis of the verse in Isaiah. The prophecy in Isaiah speaks about King David sprouting forth like a plant. So we speak about tzaddikim also, that they flourish like plants, like trees, and so on. Tzaddik atamar ifrach, tzaddik atamar ifrach, and also the beginning of Or Zavua la Tzadik Ulishay Lev Simcha. So there's a lot of people ask, Or Zavua la Tzadik, this light sown for the Tzadik. So you can see it's something to do with trees and plants and things that grow. Because the idea is that the Mashiach will grow out of nothing. שומרים את צמח דוד אחר שאר הברכות. So we say it's צמח דוד right at the end. משמע, which seems to imply שביאת המשיח בסוף הגאולה. That the Mashiach will come at the very end of the process of redemption. ומרן רב שמשון רפאל הרש זצ"ל בפירוש הסידור. In his commentary on the Siddur, because he wrote a substantial commentary on the Siddur, Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, Mevaer explains, ששבע הברכות השניות מכוונות כנגד שש הברכות הראשונות, that the last seven blessings are juxtaposed to the, correspond, if you like, to the first six. שהשיבה ולמשנים כחד החשיבה. He says the last six, because השיבה and משנים, so the two blessings, one of them about the judges, השיבה שופטינו כבראשונה, that we want the judges of the original judges, the Jewish judges, the judges, the Sanhedrin, and the blessing against the slanderers, they are counted as one.
They're counted as one?
It's the same part of the process. They come at the same time. Once the judge, it will be explained, he will explain.
Oh, okay, in the, okay. I thought the last two of the middle section, they were one blessing. David.
Sorry? No, King David
and
Jerusalem seems to have been at one time
one
the same blessing. It will be explained.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but you're right. This is a different theory as to why we call it nine. Why it became
19. You're not saying that these two here, the Lama Shem, they were one, are you?
No, they were not one. He says that they are kachad d'achashive. They are regarded as one, but they're not one. They were separate blessings. They are separate blessings.
They are separate. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's the same idea. He says, I'm not sure exactly why he says the same idea, but we should see. And now he explains the blessing about the shofar. He says that the blessing of the blowing of the shofar to represent freedom is equivalent and corresponds to the first blessing in the middle section, which is the one about knowledge.
Oh.
He explains.
Okay.
So what is this measure? How do they correspond?
Yeah.
So he says, "Shetfila zoi al atchalat ha-geula." This prayer, Kavu Shofar, is about the very beginning of the redemptive process. Kemo shivua bezot Hashem itbarach, as we have explained with the help of God. V'lachen, kemo shitpalalnu al chaninat bina de'avaskel atzmeinu, just as we have prayed that God should grant us intelligence and knowledge and discernment for ourselves privately, individually, as we ask God to give us wisdom. Ken mevakshim tka b'shofar gadol. So corresponding to that, we ask God to blow the great horn, the Yair Hashem Dat Bimromim, and God will stir up knowledge of Himself from up in the sky. I'll call Yoshvei Tevel over all the inhabitants of the world. Kemo Shnemar Shelatid And that's the last verse which we just read in the Rambam. Ki ba'aretz le'at Hashem kamayim l'yam mechasim. That the land will be, the earth will be full of the knowledge of God. La'kir et HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to recognize and to acknowledge Hashem. So, tka b'shafar gadol l'chirutenu. We find two traditions about the importance of the shofar. First of all, the shofar of Matan Torah, which is Rosh Hashanah, Mosaf, we say this as well. Atan igleita banan kvodecha. God, in the shofarot section, that God revealed himself to us on the mountain where the shofar blew. So the shofar is reminder of the giving of the Torah, as it says, "Vayi kol haShofar olech v'chazek meod," that the sound of the shofar became stronger and stronger. And then there is the shofar of the Mashiach, as it says in the prophet Isaiah. So these words, "Kabbah Shofar," are based on the prophet Isaiah, because the prophet Isaiah said, "Vaya b'yom ahu," it will be that day. Itaka b'shofar gadol, a great horn will be blown. Uvau avdim be'eretz Ashur, and all those who have been lost in the land of Assyria, v'anidachim be'eretz Mitzrayim, and those who have been scattered all the way as distant as the land of Egypt, they will come back. Ve'anu metzapim litkiyat ha-shofar ha-gadol. And now we're waiting. Anu metzapim, we're waiting, we expect it. Ve'ulai inyan ha-shofar ha-gadol kipshuto. But maybe it's not a figure of speech. It really will happen. There will be a great sound of the shofar, and all the inhabitants of the world will hear it. But the truth is, we don't know, we don't understand whether the prophet spoke in a figure of speech. Maybe it'll just not be shofar, it'll be just an announcement anyway, that there will be an announcement. שאז תתקיים כי מלאה הארץ דעת השם כמים הים מכסים. Now it comes to some contemporary things relating to this question of what kind of an announcement are we talking about. And there is a big dispute in Orthodoxy, and one is represented by Lubavitch, the other one is represented by people who are not Lubavitch and people who are opposed to Lubavitch on an ideological ideological reasons. And the greatest divide between Lubavitch and very intense Orthodoxy is the Mashiach. Look what they do with the Mashiach. V'agav na'ir b'meh sheyesh ka'elu amrim sh'mashiach omed al asaf etechef yavo. So the Lubavitch, what do they do? Mashiach is coming, Mashiach is, what do they say? We want Mashiach now. This is, yes, and it's become their motto. Now, there is tremendous criticism of that in the non-Lubavitch Orthodox world, in the Yeshiva world, in the Lithuanian world, in the world of Nebrak and all the rest, people are not Lubavitch. They are deeply opposed to this.
But the way they're going about it?
Yeah, the way they're going about, the Mashiach. Yes. They're very, very bitterly opposed to this. They say the Mashiach is about to come.
Yeah.
ולכן מרבים בפעולות של הבל בפרס, therefore they've got all kinds of activities and they make announcements. I don't know what bypass is, מכשיר אלקטרוני, an electronic instrument, המזמין את הנושאו להתקשר עם הקורא אותו. I think it is a kind of instrument where you can just make contact with someone else.
Telephone.
They're not
movies have
beepers.
Beep. Pages.
Pages.
Yes, basically. They walk around Brooklyn with their pages, expecting the pages to go off to tell them the Mashiach has arrived.
Ah, is that really? What they still do?
Yeah, they still have the pages and they're
waiting. I see they've long been come to an end.
They're waiting for a message on their phone or whatever.
I see. So when this book was written, it was still a beep.
Yeah.
Now it's an iPhone 5. Now it's an iPhone. Right. Now I understand. I didn't know what they meant. So it was a long time ago since we have these beeps. I used to have one. It's 15 years ago, before the invention of the mobile phone.
Yeah.
Uvemet, so look what Shimon Schwab says. He was the rabbi of what's it called in New York? He was a very great rabbi. His brother was a Mashgiach in Gateshead, who died prematurely, Moshe Schwab. And what is High? Is the place called High in New York?
Humphrey.
It's a German. Schule. Yeah, it is. It follows the German Ashkenazi Schule, and now you know who was a rabbi more recently after Rabbi Shimon Schwab. It was the father of Dan Gelly. So, what's it called, this shul? I've got the book downstairs, I've got to bring it up. I'll tell you next week. Anyway, he's not alive anymore. This book was written on the basis of his talks. He gave a shul, which was written down later, produced as a book. In fact, the shul were in English, so you can get the book in English. Mm. And then it was translated into Hebrew. ובאמת הם מזלזלים באחד מהדברים אחרים מקודשים בכלל ישראל. And the truth is that they are treating lightly one of the most sacred concepts in Judaism. They're treating the Mashiach as if it's a little toy. Kilita b'midrash, as it says in the midrash. Veruach Elokim merachefet al pnei ha'mayim, that the Spirit of God was hovering above the waters. Ruchos shel Melech Hamashiach. This is the Spirit. This Ruach Elokim. Something goes back to the creation of the world, and it is the Spirit of the King, the Mashiach. Veyesh yosim pulot ladbik modaot al hamechoniyot shelahem, so they stick the stickers on their cars, ועל פרשות דרכים, and in the streets, לפרסם בידו, to publicize his coming, וכבר נשאלתי, and I have been asked, עלו אם אין אנו עושים פעולות להמשיך בידו, להמחיש בידו, איך נוכל להביט בפני משיח? If we don't do, I have been asked, if we don't do anything, to bring about his coming, how will we ever see the Mashiach? Ve'aniti, and I answered, Shebein kach lo nochal lirot panav. In any case, we won't be able to see his face. Shim Aaron uFinchas lo yachlu labit b'fnei Moshe Rabbeinu. If Aaron and Pinchas, they couldn't look at Moses when he came down from Sinai because his face was shining, v'lachen sam al panav masve, therefore he had to hide his face, as you remember, he had to put a veil over his face. איך יוכל אדם פשוט להביט את בני משיח צדקנו? How will we be able to look at the Mashiach? We won't be able to look at the Mashiach. והנה ידומים לגבי משיח כרמז קטן לעומת גודל גלגל החמה. He will be like the sun, and we will be like a small insect on the ground.
Being on the Lubavitch side, no one knows. So how can they say that they're wrong? No one knows.
He says that they are wrong, but you're right. No one knows.
No one knows.
But it's created a lot of problems in the past, this idea of bringing the Mashiach into real politics, into
No, it should be more to politics.
Into something which is very much part of our lives. He says it will be something so extraordinary.
No.
It'll be a new creation. We cannot understand it in a physical sense.
Yeah.
We won't be able to look at the Mashiach. What he means is that we simply can't envisage it, and we shouldn't try.
At least.
Just leave it alone and wait. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Leave the whole idea alone until it comes about by some
miracle.
Yeah. Well, that is the belief of the Haredim anyway. That's why they don't accept Israel either. But we have separated in modern Orthodoxy, we have separated the state of Israel from the Mashiach to regard the state of Israel as some kind, somehow part of the messianic process, not in a strictly theological sense. I mean, we try to see in it some religious significance of momentum, and it is. We call it Reshit Smichat Geulat. It's the very, very beginning of the process of Smicha, Tzemach. The very, very beginning of the seed just starting to grow.
Because in your last thing, you said that no one will be a mamzer, it won't make any difference. If you're a mamzer or not a mamzer, you'll all be brought together.
No, mamzer has nothing to do with it. But what we said before was that the Mashiach will announce who's a Kohen, who's a Levi, tribe, but mamzer, he will not be able to, he will know who is a mamzer, but he will not identify.
Like in the Jews in Israel today, some of the secular, they'll be all brought together. No, isn't it the same type of thing, not political thing, but isn't it the same process?
Yes, you will want to have unity.
Yes,
you like.
Unity. So they won't distinguish between a Mamzer.
The Rambam.
A Jew and a from Jew. Israel is right.
But the Rambam is talking about Yuchsin there. In that passage, Rambam was talking about Yuchsin. Yichus means families that have a Mamzer. He will want to
unify,
but he will unify, but by telling you exactly where you belong, your yichus. You know what yichus is?
Yichus
is your family pedigree. He'll tell you if you are belong to the most important tribe or the least important tribe. He'll tell you which tribe. But what he won't do is tell you who is a mamzer and who is not, because there is a rule in the Talmud that kivan she nitma, when a mamzer is, because a mamzer is also yichus. It's a bad one. It prevents you from getting married. So, I mean, you can't have a worse yichus than that. The mamzer is the worst yichus. That will be allowed to be forgotten. That's what the Rambam says.
Okay.
I mean, there will be unity. Look, the Mashiach will not come before
unity.
Jews are more united religiously.
That's not,
Going to happen. And that's why they prefer, they in the very from world, they don't want the Mashiach to be involved in any of the political scene today. They're not interested.
It's not political.
They're not interested to say that the state of Israel is anything to do with the Mashiach. They're not interested in what the Lubavitch are doing. For them, the Mashiach will be some kind of a miracle which they are not prepared to define or to talk about. And here you've seen, they say, look about what Shimon Schwab says. It will be something completely concealed. You won't be able to look at it. It'll be like the sun. You can't look at the sun.
You probably don't link the forming of the state of Israel to the start of the Messianic era. They don't see.
Because they don't see it as a process either. Because the Mashiach is a person who will come, not a process.
The bit I don't understand is how they can link that the Mashiach will come, but they have this link with the Rebbe. As being someone that's going to be revived or whatever, and turn up as the Mashiach. I don't get how they can. You can say the Mashiach is coming. You can say it's coming out of nothing. But how can they say, the Mashiach has already been here. I mean, that is very much a kind of question.
Of course. It's a very, very strange and very false perception of what Mashiach will be. The Mashiach will also not die like the Rebbe died. So it's false. It's false. And it's very objectionable. Very objectionable. Mm-hmm. And it spoils all the good work they're doing. And it divides the Lubavitch movement. It's a very negative idea that the Lubavitch people have. Mm. The Rebbe wanted to enthuse everyone to the idea of the Mashiach, and they mistook it. Although some people say that he gave them signals that he was. Yeah. People say that, but I don't know. He certainly was a very great leader, but.
But surely once he's died,
they don't bother to justify. They just do it. They just believe it.
But it's
terrible. I agree. There was once somebody that the Isaiah thought was a Mashiach, and it was proven wrong. And time and time again, messiahs arose, and they did some fabulous things, but they were proven not to be the Mashiach. And he explains, "V'nachzor levayer inyan ha-shofar gadol." Let us go back to explain what is this great shofar. So before the shachit service, in the very early sections, after we say the Shema, the first time.
The first.
So it says, Kabeitz kovecha me'arba kanfotav. Gather in all those who hope for you. Tikva, kovecha. Me'arba kanfotav, it's from the four corners of the world. Yakir v'yidu kovei olam. So, all human beings, by olama, human beings, you've got it in the Tanit Tokev, chol by olam, yavun lefanecha, kivnei maron. By olam are people who have entered the world, human beings. Everyone will be recognized. Kol olam kulo, ki atahu elokim levadecha, lechol mabechot aras, you are the God on your own for all the kingdoms of the world. Chol zman. And so long. She'ein kan akarat kol ha'olam kolo malchut Hashem. So, before we can expect the Shofar Gadol to start the process of the Mashiach, of the coming of the Mashiach, before the world recognizes God, it just won't happen. Kol zman she'ein kan akarat kol ha'olam kolo. The whole world has to recognize God. Ein ze kol Shofar Gadol. This is not the call of the great shofar. Elat sfira ktana, it's a small sound. Uvemet kara pam tkiat shofar gadol. And indeed it did happen in biblical times once. There was a great shofar. Bimei Koresh, in the days of Cyrus, Asher, which about whom Isaiah said, Ko amar Hashem limshicho lekoresh. So, goes on below the line. So says the Lord to his Mashiach Cyrus. He was a king of Persia. Shekaro HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashiachi. God called him my Mashiach. V'ukabash Memlechet Bavel Adira, and he conquered the mighty kingdom of Babylon, Ufaras and Persia, Vashur and Assyria, V'chol ha'olam ha'miyushab v'ota ha'tkufa, and the entire world that was inhabited in those days, V'yoto ha'shalit ha'yechidi, and since he was the supreme ruler over all, E'vir kol v'chol malchuto, he announced throughout his kingdom. And that's recorded in the book of Ezra, and second, and then it is recorded also in the book of Divrei Hayamim. It's the last paragraph, actually. I'll tell you in a minute. It's the last verse. Ko amar Koresh melech Paras. So said Cyrus, king of Persia. Kol mamlechot haaretz. All the kingdoms of the world. Natan li Hashem Elokei Hashemayim. God, the God of heaven, given to me, Shalafiyoto Shalita Mukhlat, although he was the supreme leader, supreme ruler, Mikol Makom Mechir Shiyesh Elokim Bashamayim, nevertheless he had the humility to announce that there is God in heaven. Vupakadalai, he said, that was his powerful declaration. Vupakadalai livnot lo bayit b'Yerushalayim, he commanded me to build for him a house in Jerusalem. Vaya zman pkita v'atchala shel geula. And that was really a time of the beginning of the redemption. Ela shelo zachinu, but we didn't merit it. Shitpateach liyot yomot haMashiach. He didn't develop further, and his days did not become the days of the Mashiach. Umnam uvdal uvdazu melamedet otanu venotenet lanu eiz mosak katan. But this fact teaches us and give us a little bit of an impression that this order that redemption should start will be through a great shofar. And the shofar, what will the shofar announce? It will announce the requirement everybody should be aware and acknowledge God, all human beings. Mm-hmm.
Are we getting there slowly? Because there's Judaism, there's Christianity, and there's Islam. In a way, they're all praying to one God.
But not as far as the Mashiach is concerned. The Mashiach is a uniquely Jewish idea. I mean, the Christians say that he's already been.
Yeah.
So it's all false. So Christianity is based on false premises. Completely false.
Yes.
To believe in someone
might be that is a Messiah, they praying to a man.
Not a Messiah. So it's falsehood. So the Christianity is false. The entire religion is false. So there was a big argument with the chief rabbi when he wrote the book once. You remember?
He had to withdraw some
of his comments because, unfortunately, he said that all religions have truth in them. So people attacked him. I mean, how can Christianity have any truth since it's based on complete falsehood? The whole thing is false. And so is Islam, based on falsehood. So he had to withdraw some of it and rewrite it, and he did successfully rewrite it, but he didn't quite think it out. What he wanted to say is that all religions can train you to think spiritually, but you have to be very, very, very careful. Because we believe that Judaism is the true religion. We don't believe that Christianity is the true religion. We don't believe that Islam is the true religion, otherwise what kind of Jews are we? So you've got to be careful. Even when you speak about elements of truth, you've got to say it differently. He obviously said it wrongly. I believe nowadays he checks very, very carefully people to read, to say people who are really tuned to the way that Orthodox, because he is a philosopher. The chief rabbi is a philosopher who became a rabbi.
Not the other way around.
The next chief rabbi might be a rabbi who became a philosopher. But Jonathan Sachs, clearly, he was a philosopher long before he became a rabbi. That's been his difficulty. But we know that there's got to be a unity in the world.
So how will you get that
unity in the world? Even before the Mashiach. The Mashiach will come when there's unity. He quotes here, the Mashiach will come at the end of a process of unification of humanity under the banner of God. That's what Kav Shofar is.
He says,
and he quotes the Torah, because it says, when Jacob was about to die, so it says in Genesis 49:1, which is the end of the book of Bereshit. Vayikra Yaakov el Banav, Jacob called his sons. Ve'yomer, and he said, Ve'asfu ve'agid alachem, gather and I'll tell you what will happen to you at the end of days. So according to rabbinic interpretation, it means the days of the Messiah, was Achit HaYamim in the prophetic literature, is the end of days. End of days, the days of the Mashiach. What will come at the end? At the end of the day, Achit HaYamim. The famous passage in Isaiah about the Mashiach starts with the words, it will be at the end of days.
What does it mean, end of days?
End of days means the days which will come after all the ordinary days that we shall experience, humanity will experience.
Yes.
So there will be days after that. These will be new days, new type of days. Achar means achar.
After. Acharei.
Acharei, something after the days that we know.
So the whole thing, the whole concept of the way we live will change completely.
Yeah,
we can't understand.
I think they mean.
Yeah.
Do you know the word machar, which means tomorrow?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
You sang it before, no?
Yeah.
So the first word is machar.
Right.
You sang it before?
Yes, yeah.
Machar comes from the word achar.
After.
So this is Achit HaYamim. The prophets call it all the time Achit HaYamim. The rabbis called it, so that's the biblical. In rabbinic Judaism, in rabbinic Hebrew, it's Ketz HaYamim. Yishlach leKetz Yamin Meshicheinu. So you got it. Ketz Yamin is the end of days.
As we know it.
The day is at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So he explains, "Va'peirush hu masher ye'era lachem, ikra etchem." I want to tell you, but ikra is the same as happen. She'era lachem, da'achrit ha'yamim. Ve'im ken haya lo lichtov ikare behei. So why is it not written with a hey? Because kara with a hey means to happen, and kara with another means to read. So it's a misspelling. So Shimon Schwab explains that it's deliberate. This spelling is deliberate because the messianic period will be ushered in by a call, by the call of the shofar. That's it. Kriya, Shon Kriya.
Yeah.
It's a deliberate misspelling according to Shimon Schwab to pinpoint this idea that the Mashiach will only come after this, will be this tremendous call of the shofar. V'yeish lamar, and what will be this call? The call will be sovevet ala pasuk shel acharav. What will be the call? The call will be the next verse. Yikavtzu v'shimu bnei Yaakov. Gather and listen, the children of Jacob. This is what Jacob said to his sons. And it means, but it refers to the days of the Mashiach as well. That's how you have to read it. Shebesof Yomaya, at the end of days, Alechem Litached Ulitkabetz, you have to unite and become one, like kibbutz. Ulitkabetz, she asks, that then, Kishtagiat Kufar Chadasha, when the new period will come. שייתן הקדוש ברוך הוא בלב מלאכים ושרים להכיר במלאכותו יתברך, that God will put in the hearts and minds of kings and great leaders to acknowledge the kingship of God. תהיה משימה גם עליכם להתאסף. You will have the responsibility to gather. יקבצו, you will get together. There be kibbutz, kabetz. There'll be the ingathering of all the Jewish people to one place. So that's Kabbi Shofar. That's how it will start the process of redemption. But there have been false messiahs. And the next bracha is about Christianity. So we're going to read that. Islam is about Christianity.
That's referring to. I thought that's the Sadducees. That's not.
No, it was. It is about the Christians. We'll learn about next week.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. planning on.
Yes?
Yes, wait a second. It's fine.